In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. As we mentioned before, during the holy month of Hathor, the church is telling us about the gospel, the message of the good news in preparation for the Nativity Feast, God willing, next month. And in this gospel presents us with some terms of discipleship or terms of fellowship. We all are here today because we want to have fellowship with Christ and we want to be His disciples. But He sets forth in this gospel some things that we should keep in mind of this discipleship that we are willing to accept. The first thing that we have to realize is that the disciple or those who are in fellowship with Christ must be willing to abandon what is dear to them. We must be willing to abandon what is dear. And that's why He says, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Certainly this doesn't mean that Christ wants us to hate all of these, because He is the author of life. He doesn't want us to hate, and He is the institutor of the family and of marriage. So certainly He doesn't mean for us to hate these people. But I think what He means is that He doesn't want us to prioritize them or anyone else before Him. I think a great example of this would be the story of Saint Damiana. All of us are maybe familiar from it from Sunday school, but Saint Damiana was a daughter of a governor, and she wanted to, she was preached Christianity and she wanted to live a righteous and godly life. So she they were both Christians. And then her father, she heard that the emperor, whoever it was, passed the order that everybody should worship the idols. And of course, she remained strong, she and her friends. And then she got whims that her father had offered the incense to the idols. And this troubled her greatly. She put before her either one of two things. I can give my dad excuses, which I'm not going to do, or I can send him a letter. And she sent them this letter, which was, extremely, direct and firm. And she said, I would have rather heard that you died than that you offered incense to idols and you forsook the Lord Christ. So, of course, her father read this letter, and he was cut to the heart, and he returned to the Lord, thankfully. But here we see that she was willing to give up her fatherly relationship for the sake of Christ. So here when Christ says, to hate all of these people, your mother, wife, children, and brothers and sisters, He doesn't mean that literally, but He means it that we should put God before everything else. Any other relationship or that which is dear to us. We have to be willing to lose the company of others rather than gaining their favor. Let me repeat that again. We have to be willing to lose the company of others rather than gaining their favor. I think our young people that are in the school age are facing this battle daily. And as parents, we need to strengthen our kids to stand firm. How often are our kids, offered drugs, alcohol, inappropriate messaging, dating, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all these things that are flooding them around us. And then when they refuse, they say that they make fun of me. The kids make fun of me. They say I'm weird. They say I'm old-fashioned. So our kids are facing these things, and this battle is real. So we need to root in our kids to be willing to, forsake their company rather than do what they want, fall into sin, just for the sake of gaining their favor. Not only even our children, but maybe we as well, as adults in the workplace. Some people might say, in order to make it in this company, you have to cheat. You have to lie about what you put on your time card. You have to, don't tell the boss this thing that you did. Because this is it's the only way we can make it in this world. So we face the same thing. Are we willing to give up maybe those who are dear to us on our friends for the sake of Christ? Certainly if we want to be a follower of the Lord, Christ, we need to do this. The second is, we must be able to abandon my own self. This is difficult, to abandon what I want, my own will. And that's why he says, and whoever does not, and his own life also cannot be my disciple. So it doesn't. The person who doesn't even who hates their own life, or has to hate their own life in order to be his disciple. Not here that I don't like my life and I want to destroy my life, because this is from God. But what is meant here is the will. My will over God's will. And maybe we can apply this physically to those who are martyrs, who said, okay, I would rather that to live with Christ than to live with man and have what I want in this world, and I give my life for the sake of Christ. Just like, you know, the people who are in Uganda, just like the people in Libya, all of these people chose to remain firm in their faith and not forsake Christ, even if it cost them their own life. But maybe for us, we can apply this to our spiritual battles, to our spiritual battles. Some of us, or most of us, we don't experience physical pleasure from doing our spiritual exercises. And at least this might be the case in the beginning. But the person who wants to follow Christ will do these things despite the lack of physical pleasure. You know, nowadays we're all accustomed to being entertained and being occupied through our devices and all these electronics instantly and on demand. And then when we come and we stand up to pray, it seems so boring, I lose interest, and my mind is going everywhere. But the person who wants to be the disciple of Christ will get up and do this anyways, even if I get distracted, even if I don't feel, you know, physical pleasure from this, even if I'm not stimulated in the way, in this particular way. But a disciple of Christ will do this anyways because we know that it is good for us. I heard a mother came to me once, and you know, her son really didn't any particularly like to come to church, you know, that often, and really, you know, wasn't fond of the church, and he went away to college. And then the priest who was in this area used to go and he would serve the college students in the area. And he saw this, you know, this boy, and his mom had called him earlier about him. And he saw this boy coming to the Bible studies. And he knows that he's not really interested. So one day after the Bible study, he asked the guy to come and asked him, you know, how's everything going, you know, I'm very, you know, happy to see you at Bible study. I hope this is a new page. He says, you know, Abuna, I'm still not as interested, but I know it's good for me. So here, this person is coming to the Bible study, even though he may not be 100 fully convinced, but he knows this is what's right and what's good for him. So here, he's giving up his own will to do whatever, you know, he wants to in a particular, you know, at home or around with his friends, to come and spend some time with the Lord, even if he'd rather be doing something else. This is giving up my own will for the sake of following Christ. Saint Isaac the Syrian said something very nice about kneeling in prayer. He says, persistence in watchfulness together with kneeling at times will readily give the striving worshiper the joy of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer and you will obtain the pleasure of kneeling and persist joyfully in it. So he says, devote yourself to kneeling in prayer and then the joy and the happiness will come after that by God's grace. So we are called to abandon my own will. Also, those who follow Christ should be prepared for the worst. You know the saying that says, you know, prepare for the worst and hope for the best? Right? So we prepare for what is the worst to come, and I hope the best. This means I have no expectations at all. And I think this was something that was told to the disciples. And they saw this person, the Lord Christ, doing miracles and all these great things, and how he's gaining popularity and fame. Maybe they were expecting to hear from him, if you come and follow me, I will give you wealth. I will give you popularity, I will give you honor, and all of these things. But actually, he told them that we have to give up all of these things. You know what this is like, or what Christianity is like? It's like a Fortune 500 company. What do I mean? If you take maybe, for example, Apple, right? We all saw what happened on Black Friday and all the chaos that happens, you know, and people give deep discounts. For a company like Apple, did they give much of a discount? Do they give much of a discount? Anybody who knows? No? They don't give much of a discount. Why? Because the people will pay for it at full cost. So what they've created is a valuable company that people will be willing to pay full price for regardless. And because people look at their products as being valuable, as being something that they need. And when Christ came to present to us the kingdom of heaven, he didn't come to present us this Black Friday discount. You know, as I said here on the slide, the kingdom of heaven doesn't need a Black Friday, but only a Good Friday. The kingdom of heaven doesn't need to give us incentives here on earth to get us to see that it is valuable. It promises something far greater than any Fortune 500 company can provide us. So it doesn't need to say or make any discounts in its truth, in its message. It just needs to come and say, you know, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. It's going to be painful for you to pay $800, $700 for a phone, but we do it, right? It's going to be painful for you to take up your cross and follow me. But the question is, do we do it? We have to abandon our own will and be prepared for the worst. Also, the Lord here in this passage tells us that we must be prepared to finish. He says he gives us two illustrations of this. One about building a tower and the second about preparing for battle. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all will see and begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So here the Lord is focusing on the finishing of the endeavor. Whenever we plan for anything, say for example buying a house, we plan meticulously if this house is affordable, if we can afford this house. And if we can't afford this house, we say, okay, we gotta, you know, maybe lower our price range a little bit. So he's likening the kingdom of heaven the same way. When we go into the spiritual life and we go into, you know, fellowship with Christ and wanting to be his disciples, we gotta sit down and count the cost and say, am I able to do this? And know that this is gonna be, you know, it's gonna be tough. But I have to be willing to invest, because we shouldn't start something without the intent to finish it. Anything in our life, if we start without finishing, produces no fruit. We gain nothing from it. If I start college and don't finish, I don't get a degree. If I accept a job and it's the best job and I sign the contract and I don't go to work, I don't get the job. I lose the job, right? So finishing is essential in every aspect of our life, and especially in Christianity. And he says, to build a tower, it needs a foundation. And building this strong foundation, our spiritual life, is our personal spiritual development. Whether I'm a servant, or just, you know, a parent, or just a child in the family, I need to work on building the foundation, my spiritual foundation. What do I mean by this? Many of us, when we were in our homes, when our parents, they took care of us, they fed us, they purchased our clothes, they provided a roof for us and everything. Once we start going into college and moving out of the house, we have to realize that now I have to provide for myself and to nourish myself and cook for myself and clean for myself. The same goes to the spiritually mature person, the person who works on their own personal spiritual development, is that I can do these things on my own. I don't need mom and dad to tell me to read the Bible, to come to church early. I don't need Abuna to come and tell me to come and confess, and I haven't seen you a long time. But I'm working on my own spiritual development. And this is key to our success, to be able to finish the race, is our own spiritual development and our spiritual reading. I don't understand something in the Bible? Look it up, ask, seek out answers. And anybody who is embarking on this journey has to realize and to put in mind that it's going to be a long journey, and I need to be zealous about it. I need to strive with it. In the book of Sirach, it says something very nice. He says, "My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. Set your mind right and be steadfast, and do not strive anxiously in distress." So it says, if you serve the Lord, if you want to be His disciple, prepare for temptation. Prepare for Satan not to leave you alone. I can't go in and say, this is going to be an easy path. No, I got to go in, roll my sleeves up, and say I'm ready to battle. And that's why he ends the illustration with the picture of war. No one goes out to war without calculating the cost and calculating whether my men can outnumber their men or my equipment can outnumber or outbeat their equipment. The Lord here is telling us here that we're not fighting against human beings. Sometimes we feel that we can, you know, do the spiritual things on our own. But actually, St. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he says, we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against the evil dominions of Satan and all of his demons. And they don't have a physical body like we do. And they don't get weak and tired like we do. So we need to prepare for a serious battle, but we need to take up the armor of God. And these will be the spiritual practices like I spoke about. The last thing is that we must be willing to bear that which is heavy. We have to be willing to bear that which is heavy. You know, when the Christ said this passage and he told them he wants to be my disciple, must take up their cross and follow me. What did the disciples know about the cross? They knew that this was contempt. The criminals were hung on this cross, right? And they knew that the Roman custom at the time was the criminal would, from the place of judgment, would carry their cross to the place where they would be executed. So when he said, take up your cross, they understood this as the cross is very heavy, right? So they understood this not to mean the cross of Christ yet, but they understood this to mean this is going to be something that's going to be heavy. And the cross and death consist of nothing else than putting to death our own self and our own will. Listen to what St. Paul says in the book of Acts, chapter 20. He says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." He's telling the elders, his beloved brethren, about where he's going to go, how he's going to go to Jerusalem, and what's going to happen to him. So imagine, you know, His Holiness, Pope Tewodros, is telling us that he's going to this place, or he's going to Jerusalem, and listen to what he's going to face. He says, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So he says, I'm going there because I'm going to die there. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but you know what? I don't even count my life dear to myself. But what's important to St. Paul is the furtherance of the gospel. That was it. The gospel, my life is not important. Giving up his life. And also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, St. Paul says about himself, I am an ambassador in chains. An ambassador in chains. Does the ambassador of any country, are they chained? No. The ambassadors to countries aren't changed. Let me tell you a story to illustrate, you know, this concept. There was a young girl who suffered some things and was being sold into slavery. And this girl, you know, was owned already by another owner, and he was going to sell her on the market. So he goes and he presents to her, the people, this girl to be to sell. And from no one really wanted to bid in the beginning. So this man comes and he says, I'll give you $200. And the girl's thinking to herself, am I worth $200? That's it? So he says $200. And the guy who's having the auction, anybody, $300, $400, $500? No one says anything. And he says $200 going once, $200 going twice. So the girl is thinking to herself, what? I have no value. So then a man comes out of nowhere and says $300. The first man says $400. The second man says $1,000. The first man says $2,000. And now the price is going up. So what is the feeling in the girl's heart? Okay, they're offering more, but now they're fighting against me. I'm being bought, I'm being purchased with money. I'm not worth money, I'm worth more than that. I'm not worth any amount of money. So the two of them begin to negotiate, and it goes to the thousands and ten thousands, and then the first man says, this is out of my range. I can't purchase her. So the second man comes, and they says, whatever, if he was sold for $300,000, going once, going twice, sold. So the second gentleman comes, and the person who's selling her, signs the contract, and it's official. So the guy takes the contract, and he goes to the girl, and of course she's so upset because I'm being sold for money. This is very demeaning, and it's hard to go through. So she thinks to herself, and she says, I'm valuable to this person now who's just paid all this money. So the man says, he takes the contract and he says, you know what? Here's the contract. And she's like, what do you want me to do with it? He's like, do what you want to with it. Here's the contract. You're now your own person. You are free. You can rip up the contract if you like and you can go free. So she thought to herself, so you're just going to let me go free after spending $300,000 on me? And he's like, yes, I'm going to set you free. Cut it up, do what you want, and go. So she thought to herself, she had a little flashback of the many different people that bought her before and how they abused her. They used her, and then they sold her again. They used her, abused her, and sold her again. And she finally met a person who not only paid more than anybody else for her, but also gave her the contract to do what she pleases with. So she thought to herself, you know what? I want to come to your house. I want to serve you. And he says, no. I set you free. I want you to go. And you can do whatever you want with your freedom. She says, but you paid so much for me. This is unheard of. The fact that you're giving me the contract again, this says something about you. And I don't think I've met any other man or any other owner who treated me like this well from the beginning. And that's why I think I would rather be your servant in your house. And he says, no, I can't. I can't take you. And she says, absolutely not. I have to stay with you. So then he says to her, do you know why I came and bid on you in the beginning? And she says to him, no. And he's like, because I know that person that came to place the first bid, I know how he treated his other servants and his slaves. And he treated them very harshly and poorly and made them, suffer many bad things. And that's why I came. I couldn't bear to see him take advantage of another girl. And that's why I came and I paid, this price. And then he says to her, but you know what? You're not, you know, you're unique as well. Something's different about you. When I saw you being auctioned, there was something different about you. What is it that's different about you? You're not like the rest of the girls. What's your history? And she began to tell him, you know, I used to be a princess. I used to be the son of a king. And he's like, what happened? And then he said, this king, my father, went to battle and we lost the war in the battle. And the people that defeated my father took and killed him. And to make a mockery of my father, they took me and sold me as a slave. And this is, you know, why. And then from one person to another, I was sold until I came to your, I fell into your hands. So what is the interpretation of this story? I think you guys can probably guess it. Who was the wicked man? Satan. Very good. And who was the girl being sold to humanity? Us. Each one of us was sold to humanity. And who was the wealthy man? The Lord Christ, who bought us at a very expensive price, which was the price of what? Of his blood. Something very, it's priceless. And did he purchase us to enslave us? No, he purchased us to set us free. So here, when St. Paul says, I'm an ambassador in chains, the chains here is something that is willful. Christ didn't come to bind us, but he came to loose us. So when St. Paul's saying, I'm an ambassador of chains, because these chains are what set us free, not what bind us. So whenever we want and we to be his disciple and to be in fellowship with him, we have to understand that it will be heavy, and it will maybe cost us our friendships, cost us, you know, money, might cost us many different things. But at the end of the day, Christ is the one who's setting us free, and the things of the world and Satan are the things that actually want to bind us and enslave us. So today, when we make the determination and the choice to follow him and be his disciple, we will realize, no, the things that are spiritual, not the things that are binding, not the things that are heavy, not the things that are burdensome, but it's through these things that we are set free and loose from the world. If we've ever seen somebody who has an addiction to drugs or alcohol or any other addiction, and being them to be set free is something amazing. Something to be set free from an addiction, the person themselves will tell you, I will want nothing else in the world except to be set free. Imagine if we can be set free from any of the sins that is in my life. How great would that be? And it can be, but it just takes us to work. So, just to wrap up and summarize, he says, the disciple or the follower of the Lord Christ must be willing to abandon what's dear to him, even his own life, to follow Christ and prepare for the worst, and be prepared to finish the race. As St. Paul said, I've finished the good fight, I've finished the race. And lastly, be willing to bear the heavy load that might come upon us from Satan and the rest of the world. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.